Word's good.
Amen.
Amen. Hallelujah. If you have your Bibles, you can open to Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 1. This is part 3 of a series that is absolutely vital and essential in having the things of God work for us and our faith work, so to speak. Ephesians chapter 5. Father, help us this morning. Lord, I know that this is something we do on a weekly basis, sometimes twice a week. And it can seem mundane, it can seem repetitive, it can seem like just going through the motions. But Father, we know it's anything but that. Father, I'm reminded that in the Word, Jesus was an agent of change on the earth. He brought help and hope and deliverance, healing. He brought increase. He brought favor, blessing with Him. And Father, I'm reminded that when Jesus was here to produce that change, in every place He went, He started with something. The preaching and the teaching of the Word. He knew that without the Word, without the watering of the Word, without the receiving of the Word, change would be impossible. So we welcome the Word this morning. We're hungry for the Word this morning. We are anything but casual concerning the Word. In fact, we come with exaggerated expectation this morning of what you're going to say, of what you're going to do, of the bullseyes you're going to hit. Father, you are the expert marksman of our lives. So we thank you for what we're about to receive. We give you the glory, the honor, and the praise for it. In the name of Jesus, amen. In Ephesians 5, now of course, you know, as you go into series and get further and further into it, you can do less and less review. So we're just going to hit the parts that, as I was meditating and getting ready, of what seemed good in my heart to share. But it says, be ye therefore followers of God as dear children. Or we've looked at it this way, what? Imitators of God. Be a God copycat. Why? God is great. God is perfect. God is mighty. God never misses it. God never thinks wrong. God never talks wrong. God never acts wrong. How many of the things that get us in trouble are the things we're doing wrong? So the more that we act like the one that's never done it wrong, things will start to change for us. Amen? When we start talking like God, thinking like God, and acting like God, we are acting in line with perfection. We are acting in line with something that's never failed or been defeated. Hallelujah. And so we saw that. We ought to imitate Him. We ought to follow Him. But then the very next verse, it tells us, because there's many things we could imitate God in. There's many things we could look at His characteristics and say, I want to be like that. I want to start talking like that. I want to start thinking like that. I want to start acting like that. What does God think about this? What does God say about this? And there's many things that we can adopt and imitate, but He tells us exactly right after He says to copy me, follow me, the very first thing He says is, and walk in love. Hallelujah. And we saw this, that walking in love, the Bible says in 1 Corinthians 13:8 that love has never failed. And we know this, that God is the epitome of love. In 1 John chapter 4, what does it tell us about Him? It says that God is that, right? God is love. And so it says that love has never failed. Why? Because God has never failed. If we are to walk in the miracle flow that we're believing for our lives, believing for our community, our region, the county, the world, our church, we are going to have to be people of love. Because God, the miracle power is not found in a human being. I'm not walking around in my natural human self with miracle power, and neither are you, and neither is anybody. But that anointing of God, which is an anointing of God, and that power that flows, it flows from Him. Well, He doesn't operate in anything outside of love. That's all He knows is love. And so we want our bodies healed. We want our finances turned around. We want situations to be delivered from. We want favor to be the mark of our lives. All those things may require some heavy lifting. When I mean heavy lifting, I mean supernatural lifting. That would be heavy lifting for us, easy lifting for Him. But in order to do that, that miracle flow of God, it flows in a vein of love. Praise God. It's vital. And in 1 Corinthians 14, in verse 1. Jenny, just please go ahead and pull that up if you would in the Amplified. 1 Corinthians chapter 14 in verse 1. I guess there's no sense in me flipping there since we're just going to go right to there. It says, eagerly pursue. Now look at what the mindset here is, or the wording used concerning love. You'll find after we read this verse that Paul said it's anything but a casual endeavor. He says, eagerly pursue and seek to acquire this love. Make love your aim. What's he saying? On the target of life, one thing you ought to be shooting for to hit a bullseye in is making sure that you are walking in love. Make it your great quest. Earnestly desire and cultivate the spiritual endowments gifts, especially that it may prophesy, interpret the divine and purpose and inspired preaching and teaching. But look what it says about love. Make it your aim. Seek after it. Pursue it. Make it your great quest. Don't be casual about love. Amen? Why? You can't afford to be casual about love. We saw last week that the Bible says in Galatians 5 that our faith that brings us change, that brings us help and hope, is powered or activated by this love. No love, no faith. No faith, no victory, and no change. Amen? And so we can't just be casual about these things. And so God has put this series on my heart. And there's already different things that maybe directions going forward in this. I don't know how many weeks this is going to go, but we are going to get this imprinted on our hearts. Amen? And change the world that way. Praise God. And go with me to John 13 and verse 34. And so he says, make it your aim. And he says that love is fuel for your faith. Well, we know this, that if you're looking at things naturally, there's not just one type of fuel. But there are certain machines that only run off of one type of fuel, right? For example, a tractor that I use, there's a certain kind of fuel. It's called diesel fuel, right? I can't just put in... have someone in the backwoods make me some moonshine. Throw that in there, you know, make it with that, or go and get the can that you normally use for the weed whacker and the chainsaw that's got the mixture of the oil and the gas. I can't put that in there, and I can't put what I put in my truck in there. It's going to cause things to break down. It's going to cause things to not perform like they should. Well, it's the same thing. When it comes to love, he says, make it our aim. Well, we got to know what the target is. We got to know what kind of fuel to make sure that we're operating out of. And thank God Jesus shows us and tells us. He says, a new commandment I give unto you, that you love one another. Okay, there's that love. Put that love in your life. Now notice this. As I have loved you, that you also love one another. We know that word love is the word agape. And when the Bible says that God is love, the Greek word is agape. And so it's telling us that there's a certain kind of love. And in the Bible, if you study it, there's different kinds of love, just like there's different kinds of fuel. And basically, to break it down without getting too teachy here today, it comes down to basically a human love, different kinds of human love, and a divine love, or a God kind of love. And the kind of love that God is, obviously, because he is God, is the God kind of love. And the kind of love that Jesus says we are to operate with, or the fuel that we are to operate in or put in our tanks, is the agape or divine kind of love. Not the human kind of love, the God kind of love. And thankfully, Jesus said, as I have loved you. And so we can look at different things in Jesus' life and point to different situations and circumstances and say, that's how the love that we're to operate in, that's how it would operate. That's how it would respond. That's how it would think. That's how that love would act. And then we are to what? Then adopt what the word says, renew our minds to it, and then live that. Why? To walk in victory. We already told you, love never fails. The losing side is anything outside the boundaries of love. Love is always guaranteed victory. It's always guaranteed the power or the help from God. And so many people get tripped up. So many people get in their emotions, get in their mind, get in their feelings, get in their thoughts, and it messes them up. And then we saw in Romans 5:8, because that we know there's different characteristics. You know, the God kind of love was what? Unconditional. I love you regardless. What is the human kind of love? I love you because you love me back. I do good to you because you do good back to me. But in Romans chapter 5 and verse 8, it tells us something because it can be overwhelming. At least it can be to me until I got my mind renewed and, you know, the word became a reality and I stopped thinking my way and started thinking his way. There's no doubt people have been wrong. There's no doubt people in your life right now might be causing you harm, might be doing things to make life very difficult for you. Situations arise at work, being unfairly treated by a boss, unfairly treated by a spouse, an ex-spouse, a coworker, a fellow church member, and things are being tough. And the natural reaction is what? Eye for eye, tooth for tooth, ignore, be offended, get mad, hold unforgiveness and grudges. But we know that those things aren't love, but we think at times, how in the world can I operate with this? I can't do it. But the Bible says you can. But God commendeth or demonstrates his love towards me in that while we were yet sinners. That's not the verse I want. Verse 5. It says in verse 5, hope maketh not ashamed. Notice this, because the love of God. What's that mean? The kind of love that Jesus demonstrated that told us to do what we need to do. See, he's not an unjust savior. Love like I love. Well, that's impossible. You're Jesus. Well, then he's unfair to say that. But he's not an unfair Jesus. The love of God, the same love, is shed abroad in your heart by the Holy Ghost. That love is in there. Praise God. But you know what love is like? Love is like the Holy Ghost in the sense that the Holy Ghost is also in there. But the Holy Ghost comes inside and dwells with every single believer. But believers will live and die a full life and not know anything about the helper. That's what we're talking about on Wednesday nights. What the comforter can do. And I mentioned last night in service talking about the Holy Ghost that there's certain things that God has for us. There's certain testimonies that we can look at and certain things I can share from my own life that God had prepared for me. He prepared things before the foundations of the world were ever even made. You know, everything's been done. Your blessing's already been made. But to get into them, the Holy Spirit. We talked about a financial testimony that it took the Holy Spirit telling people to do something. My house testimony took the Holy Spirit. Well, that means if I didn't know how to follow the Holy Ghost, didn't know how to listen about the Holy Ghost, listen to the Holy Ghost, or didn't know the Holy Ghost was in there, I would have never took advantage of the Holy Ghost and what he had to offer me. And I would have went without. And most people live and die with the Holy Ghost on the inside of them, with things that they need to hear from him to get into the prosperity they need, the breakthrough they need, the relationships they need, the favor they need, the business, the job, all the stuff. But people have no clue about it. And so they don't, even though it's in there. Same with love. The love of God's in you. But just because it's in you does not mean you'll take advantage of it. And when you operate in that which is in you, that perfect love, victory ensues. Why? Love never fails. It is the God flow. It is the miracle flow that we all need in our life. But it's in you. So no longer can you say, I can't do that. I can't forgive them. I can't be kind to them. I can't not think wrong thoughts about them. I can't stop talking about all the bad things they do. I can't not hold a grudge. Yes, you can. Just like a person should no longer say, I don't know what to do in life. That is a dumb thing to say for a Christian when you have the all-knowing one on the inside. You might not know, but to have the mindset that I can't ever figure this out, or this is never going to change, or I'm stuck like this my whole life, and you have God in you, that is an ignorant statement. Just like it's an ignorant statement to say, I can't love them, I can't forgive them. Yes, you can, because the love that you have in you is not a natural love. It is a supernatural. What does supernatural mean? It supersedes the natural. The natural says something, but the supernatural says something different. And God is saying, you can do this. Praise God. And the direction that the Holy Spirit has me going with this service is one of the main defining characteristics of God's love in Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 6. Because we need to look at different things of what is love. What things do we need to clean up? What adjustments do we need to make sure that we're putting the correct fuel? It is a bad thing if I keep putting unleaded gasoline in the tractor. If I start putting diesel fuel in different things and different things or different fuels, it eventually is going to show up. And it's going to show up and it's going to break things down. It's going to cost things. It's going to be pricey. Amen? And so we need to look at different things of this love and line it up with our lives. And if we need to make changes, we make changes. Praise God. Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 6. to the praise of the glory of his grace, wherein is he made us accepted and beloved, talking about Jesus, in whom we have redemption through his blood, the blood of Jesus. Notice this, the forgiveness of sins according to the riches of his grace. Now flip over to 1 John 1 and verse 9. So it's telling us that through the blood of Jesus, what is offered to us? Forgiveness is. Now go to 1 John 1 and verse 9. Now this is to people that have already received the precious gift of the blood of Christ, are born again, accepted of the beloved, they're saved. And now it says, if we, that we there are believers, confess our sins. Look at his response. He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. So one of the main, now remember, God is love. So anything that God does operates out of the premise of what love is. So when the Bible tells us that God offered us forgiveness through our sins through the blood of Jesus, or for our sins through the blood, and now he's ever presently, this is present day, ongoing, right? When we received Jesus, that was a one-time event. But now as we go forward, times we miss it, you know, hallelujah, we miss it, we make mistakes, and we repent, praise God, and he offers us forgiveness. So he's ever forgiving us. So what can we say? One main characteristic that cannot be left out of a believer's life if they're going to walk in this victory power of love is forgiveness. Amen? And it is such a hot button topic with people. Because we as human beings, remember this, you have to be able to separate your mind from your body and from your spirit. Paul said in Thessalonians that we are spirit, soul, and body. There's three parts of us. There's a mind, a will, and emotions. There's flesh, the carnal man, and then there's a spirit. And just so you know, the only thing that changed at the new birth was the inward man. Your flesh still wants to be bad. Your mind still wants to be bad, make you talk bad, think bad, do bad things. And so the natural reaction of a person is not to forgive, not to let people out of their debts, to let it, it's to hammer them, hold them to the fire, right? Hold on to that grudge. Replay that in our mind over and over. And so there's a battle in the flesh that's real. And if you don't learn and let this supernatural love of God, those things will dominate you. And you can kiss your faith goodbye. I'm just telling you, I'll show you in the Bible. So we're going to talk today about forgiveness. And so if God offered forgiveness at the blood, at the cross, and now he's ever forgiving us, guess what we're to do if we imitate him? Be people of forgiveness. All the Bible is one big Simon Says game. Only just put God there. God says, okay, we do whatever he says. That's how you win the game. And Simon Says, you do whatever Simon says. You want to be the winner? Do what Simon says. You want to be the winner in the Bible, in life? Do what God says. All the time. That's what we're talking about in the tithes and offerings message. Stop looking for a way out. Just do what God says. Because it's perfection telling you what to do. His instructions are perfection. Hallelujah. In Colossians chapter 3 and verse 12. Look what it says here about this walking in love thing. It says, put on, therefore, as the elect of God, holy and beloved, bowels of mercies. Now, what he's doing here is he's talking about all the things as Christians, how we ought to act. Mercies, kindness, humbleness of mind, meekness, that's also humility, long-suffering or patience, forbearing one another, that means making allowances for our mistakes and our mess-ups, and forgiving one another. If any man have a quarrel against any, even as Christ forgave you, see that there? So also do you. And then he wraps it up in verse 14. And above all these things, put on charity or love, which is the bond of perfectness, which means it's the bond of perfectness, it's the bond of maturity. It encapsulates all of them, right? He talks about humbleness, mercies, kindness, patience, forgiveness. It's kind of like, you know, do I want the clams? Do I want the shrimp? Do I want the lobster? Just order the lobster boil or the seafood boil, right? What's this? When you say seafood boil, what's included? The corn, the potatoes, the sausage, the clams, the shrimp, the lobster, right? Well, when he says love, walk in love, guess what's included in love? Forgiveness, mercies, kindness, humbleness, meekness, patience. So what he's saying is if you'll endeavor to walk in my kind of love, all these other things, including forgiveness, will be operating. But what I'm trying to show you is you can't leave forgiveness out. I don't care how much your mind's talking to you. I don't care how much the world's talking to you. I don't care how much your flesh is talking to you. You can't leave forgiveness out. It's a part of love, praise God. Notice it says here in verse 14, and above all things, put on love. You know, I'm a hunter, and I had a couple of situations that I'm aware of. My uncle, on Thanksgiving years ago, was, I don't know if it's mercy flight or whatever, by the helicopter came, and they transported him with fuel out of the woods. He got woozy in his tree stand and bam to the ground. And my first thought was, why are you 20 feet up in the air without a harness? Well, then I have a friend who, one of my friends, Amish friend, his nephew ended up at the bottom of the tree stand and woke up with injuries in his body. How did I get here? Well, he fell asleep in the tree stand and doop. Well, see, when I fall asleep in the tree stand and I do doop, I just swing back and forth. And if I were to fall out of the tree stand, I would just swing back and forth on my harness and hopefully brought my phone or I'm going to be, help! But at least I'm not crashing to the ground. And let me tell you something. You know, hunting without that harness, one of the awesome things about turkey season is I don't have to bring all the gear. And one of the things is I don't have to walk around the woods with a harness on. It's not comfortable at times. It's not convenient at times. But it's better than a wheelchair. It's better than not being able to hunt anymore, amen? Spending 50, 60 bucks on a harness and strapping in from the bottom of the tree and getting up there. So if I have a human error, it helps me, right? I put it on. It's life or death. The number one cause of hunting accidents are tree stand accidents, and they could be, most of them, prevented by a harness. You put that thing on whether you want to, whether you're comfortable or not, right? It's the same thing with a seatbelt. You know, if I'm driving around a parking lot and I'm, you know, or like in the back woods or something, you know, I might not have it on going 5 miles. Well, this is comfortable. But man, I get on through it. I don't like wearing that thing. And sometimes it runs up against my neck and you're pulling it. But you know what? I like it better than what the alternatives are of going through the windshield. Well, the same thing with love. It's not always convenient. Forgiveness is about the least convenient thing there is. One of them, because of how your flesh and mind feel, right? It's one about the least, but you put on love. Why? Life or death. It's life or death. And so I want to look at some things on forgiveness for you. Go to Luke 23, 34 and help us today. Let's get free of some of these things. Just so you know, if you're walking in unforgiveness, you are in total bondage. That thing has a grip on you. You don't even realize it, but it does. Luke 23, verse 34. And if you're thinking to yourself, Pastor Mike, stick a pipe in it. Well, then we have no help for you. I'm just trying to help you here. I'm just trying to help you. Luke 23, 34. This is Jesus, the love of God in demonstration, but it shows us a very significant fact about love. Now, one thing you have to understand about Jesus is when Jesus came to the earth, the Bible says in Philippians 2 that he humbled himself and became a man. Now, he was still God on the earth, but he laid aside, right, his deity. You know, there could be a king of a country that decides to go to a region that is maybe not aware of who he is or maybe put himself in prison to see the prison system and lay aside all those kingly things. He's still the king, but he's laying aside all the privileges to become like everybody else. And that's what Jesus did for us. That's why we have a high priest, the Bible says, that can be touched with the feelings of our infirmities. Why? Because he has been tempted and tested in every way that we have. Amen? And so why do I say that? Jesus felt hurt. Jesus felt pain. Jesus got hungry. Jesus got tired. Jesus got tempted to be short with people. Jesus got tempted to lash out. Why? Always we were tempted. He just never followed through on that. But the human traits of a person, feeling pain, feeling tired, feeling worn down, feeling sad, feeling lonely, they were all there as a human being because that's the things that we face. So in Luke 23, verse 34, the place where Jesus at is the lowest he's ever been up to that point in his life. What are we talking about? Spit on, cursed at, beaten to a bloody pulp, nails in his hands and feet, crown of thorns on his head, nailed to a tree, hanging there, gasping for air. With the power, the Bible says, to call legions, tens of thousands of angels to get him off that cross. Because remember what Jesus said, nobody takes my life from me. I have the power to lay it down and I have the power to take it back. At any moment, he actually had the power as God on the earth to say, I'm done with this, get me off the cross. But love kept him there, thank God. But my point is this, when he acts like he's about to act, the thought is that's Jesus. But remember, Jesus laid aside that, and the love of God that he's operating is the same love of God that you have. Father, forgive them. Who? The ones that are cursing at me. The ones that are spitting on me. Remember, he was perfect. He did nothing wrong. Right? The ones that have hurt me so physically and emotionally and mentally, forgive these people, for they know not what they do. First of all, let me help you with something with people that wrong you. You know why they're doing it? They don't even know what they're doing. Jesus said they don't know how they're acting, because if they knew in the light of truth, the only thing that's pure truth is that book right there. And what the Holy Spirit said, that is truth. Not what the courts say. Now, the courts might say things that line up with truth, but the ultimate truth is God's word, because he is truth, right? He is absolute truth, praise God. And so when Jesus says, Father, forgive them, hallelujah, for they know not what they do, he's telling us something, that if they knew the truth, they wouldn't act like that. What does that help you with? Compassion. It helps you with compassion with the morons in our lives that cause us trouble and the people that make life difficult for us. The Bible says we don't wrestle against flesh and blood. The people that are causing you problems and are messing with you and causing you a hard time, they just don't know. They don't know they're being motivated and influenced by the enemy. And Jesus tells us they just don't know what they're doing. But regardless, he says, Father, forgive them. Now, let me ask you a question. Do you think in his humanity that there was anything in his flesh or mind that was excited or jumping for joy or thrilled about saying those words? No. We know when people wrong us how we feel. Angry, offended, mad, bitter. Let's get back at them. Let's tell everybody their stuff. Let's do anything we can to go out of our way to ignore them. We know that, those human responses. But Jesus didn't act in humanity. He acted out of God's love. Forgive them. But what's my point? And this will set you free. Forgiveness is not a feeling. If you wait to feel like forgiving somebody, an ooey-gooey, warm sensation and goosebumps and sweetness, you may be waiting for the rest of your life, because your flesh and mind may never feel like doing it just the same way his didn't, but he didn't act out of his feelings. Why? The main characteristic that defines human love versus God's love is God's love does not need to feel it to act like it. Amen? And that's why we get in trouble. We just act how we want to act instead of acting like God. Imitate him. There was nothing in Jesus that felt like it. Forgiveness, ladies and gentlemen, is a choice. Notice how Jesus forgave them. He didn't forgive them with his feelings. He forgave them with his words. You see that? He didn't, because in a lot of times the devil will make you feel bad. Father, in the name of Jesus, I forgive them. I let them off the hook. And our flesh will say, you didn't mean that. Why? Because you didn't feel it. I don't have to feel it.
Right.
Talking about feelings, what did Jesus say? Love your enemies. Do you tell me when you're ever going to feel like doing that? Right? Pray for those, right, that use you and despitefully use you and persecute you, right? Bless them that curse you. That's what Jesus said to do. When are you going to ever feel like doing any of those things? You don't. You choose to do those things. And forgiveness is not a feeling. Forgiveness is words. It's a heart thing.
Yeah.
It's a heart thing. Okay, I see the Bible says to do it, so I just choose to do it. Amen.
Amen.
I just choose to do it, praise God. I don't have to feel like tithing.
Come on.
I don't have to feel like going to church. Oh, that should be a good one for a lot of people.
Bring it. Come on.
Why did it feel like going? What's that mean? Do you think he felt like going to the cross? No, but it was the right thing to do. You think he felt like forgiving? No, but it was the right thing to do. Well, I don't feel like tithing today. Well, I don't feel like serving today.
Come on.
Stop it, you carnal bucket. All you are is just a big bucket of feelings. Get you in trouble. Hallelujah. You don't have to feel it, praise God. Now, go with me to Mark 11:25. Talking about things to help you with forgiveness. And I'm going to help you with some things at the end of this of how to practically walk this out. Mark 11:25. And when you stand praying, forgive. Seems pretty straightforward. Now look at this. If you have aught. Now, I know that word's a little blindness in King James, but if you were to look at more modern translation, look up that word in the Greek, it means anything. If you have anything against any, what's he say to do? Forgive. What's the next thing you need to know about forgiveness? There's nothing that you are justified to hold on to. Not one thing. Now, when you say that, you can look like a not very compassionate pastor and someone that's unsympathetic. Let me qualify that by saying, I know by talking with people, me in the ministry and knowing people behind the scenes, people have been wronged in ways that are unspeakable, right? That people have been mistreated and abused and used. And when you stand up here, it can seem like you're trying to be unreasonable. And if you take it through, you can receive the word one of two ways. You can receive it through your mind and your flesh. You can receive it through the spirit.
Yes.
I say the person years ago was telling me, you know, your problem is you keep holding on to that and bringing it up and it's not, you're not allowing things to go forward. I said, Jesus said, Mark 11:25, that anything, because they were saying to me, but they did this. And so what they were saying is, what I'm struggling with and holding a grudge on is justified because of the nature or the intensity or whatever it was of the problem. I said, yeah, but Jesus, and I'll tell you why, you know, here in a little bit again why it's important. Jesus said to forgive anything. I can't believe, Pastor Mike, that you would expect me with what I've been through. Oh, they were singing their story of how justified they were. Nobody's saying you're not justified to be hurt. Nobody's saying you weren't wronged. Nobody's saying people didn't misuse and treat you wrong. I wasn't saying that something didn't happen. I'll say the Bible says from now going forward, your job is to forgive. I can't believe you would say that, Pastor Mike. How dare you just belittle what I said, I didn't say it. Yes, you did. You're the one on the phone. I said, no, Jesus said that. And this went back and forth for 3 or 4 times. And finally I said, can't get it through to them. But why were people saying that? They want, people love to hold on to their hurts. They love to coddle their hurts. Misery loves company. People like to join their hurts together and multiply their hurts. It's true. And this person was so offended at me. Well, I didn't say forgive anything. And I'm not telling you this morning that Pastor Mike says you have to forgive anything that's been done to you. Jesus is telling you that. And if he was here, he wouldn't change his words. And if he could read the hearts and minds of people, somebody that might say, how dare he say it? He doesn't know what I've been through. You know what he would walk up to you and say? I know what you've been through, but you know what you have to do, child? You have to forgive. Your Savior would say that to you. So stop magnifying what you've been through and how hurt you've been. Nobody was more justifiably hurt than Jesus to stay in his emotions, to say, I'm the perfect savior of the world. I'm here for you and you're doing this to me. I'm going to strike you down. I'm going to hold a grudge and be mad. No, he just loved us and forgave us. Praise God. So guess what? There's no reason ever to be offended. There's no reason ever to hold a grudge if you want to walk in this power of miracle power of love. Offense and grudges and bitterness have to disappear when a person walks in love. Amen. I know this is uncomfortable because it feels good to hold on to be. It's more fun to be mad at them. It's a lot easier just to be mad and think of all the things I'd like to do to them. Woo! And hope and wish things go bad for them. But that is not love. No matter what has been done to you, no matter what you're holding on to, Jesus says forgive. Praise God. Go to Matthew 18:21 to further strengthen the case of forgiveness. Peter came to Jesus, said, Lord, how often shall my brother sin against me and I have to forgive him? I love Peter's brain. Seven times, right? I mean, seven's pretty generous, right? If someone sins against me eight times, surely that's the time to cast hellfire down on them. That's the time when the grudge is okay, right, Jesus? Give me a number, Jesus. And I love what Jesus says in verse 22. Jesus said to him, I don't say unto you until seven times, but until 70 times seven. Now, if Peter would have said eight, Jesus would have said 80 times eight. Yeah. It's not, don't do the math and say, okay, I'm keeping account. What he's telling you is no matter what, no matter what number, Jesus would have multiplied it by whatever. He was just saying, and if you have someone that's sinning against you, 400, would it be 490 times, 70 times seven? Is that the good, does that do the math right? Might be time to maybe distance yourself or make a lifestyle change, you know? All right, we're at 489. You got one left. One left. I'm gonna get you after that. Praise God. 70 times seven. Look at how serious Jesus says forgiveness is. He's saying he's leaving no room for any of this. Because now you could say, but they keep doing it. Keep forgiving. Now again, we know that, and maybe we'll mention this at the end, or maybe I'll just mention it now. Certain things come with a violation of trust, right? Or you have to adjust your life, and the Holy Ghost might be leading a certain way. But we'll look at the end what forgiveness looks like, what it means, how you should think, the thought process. But we also know this, we're not doormats, and we're not meant to just let anyone use and abuse us and hurt us, but we are to forgive no matter what. Amen? Hallelujah. I want to keep reading in this story. Because I want to show you, because we hold on to this stuff. It's like, man, you ought to thank your lucky stars Jesus doesn't treat you like we treat others. And it's so hypocritical, you know. Look what he says here in verse 23. Therefore, he says, the kingdom of heaven is like this. So God approves of this, obviously. Likened unto a certain king which would take account of his servants. And when he had begun to reckon, one was brought unto him which owed him 10,000 talents. So he had quite a debt. But as much as he had not to pay his Lord, he commanded him to be sold, his wife and children, and all that he had in payment to be made. So the servant comes, owes big money, says, I don't have it. Okay, then I need my money, so we're going to do what we need to do, no matter how harsh it is. The servant, you know, not wanting to be sold off and family messed up like it would be, the servant fell down and worshipped him, saying, Lord, have patience with me, and I will pay you all. Then the Lord of that servant was moved with compassion and loosed him and forgave him his debt. The Bible says that's how the kingdom of heaven is like. Well, wasn't that how the kingdom of heaven was and still is for us? What do you mean? You came into it at the day you got born again with a whole laundry list of wrong things you did outside the will of God. And guess what God said? Don't care, I forgive you. And now going forward as a Christian, we looked at 1 John 1 verse 9. All we have to do now when we miss it is say, Father, I missed it here. I'm sorry. Forgive me. And guess what he says I'll do? I'll forgive you. That's what the kingdom of heaven is like. And that's what this guy did. He owed a lot. He had to pay. You're forgiven. So the same servant, the one that was just forgiven, went out and found one of his fellow servants, which owed him 100 pence, and laid hands on him. I think that's the kind of laying hands on you're always talking about. He'll say, Pastor, straighten me out, lay hands on me. But if you look at my office, Jeff takes it to a new level. He gave me a baseball bat. And I guess it's for you, right? We haven't had to break it out yet, but the same servant went out and found one of his fellow servants, showed him 100 pence, laid hands on him, and took him by the throat, saying, pay me what you owe. And this is a guy who's just been forgiven. And his fellow servant, the one that had the debt, fell down at his feet, but saw him saying, have patience with me and I will pay you all. And he would not, but went and cast him into prison until he should pay the debt. So when his fellow servants saw what was done, they were very sorry and came and told their Lord what was done. Then his Lord, so Lord calls him back in, the one that he just forgiven. Now he's getting wind that the one I just forgave didn't repay that, right? Then the Lord, after he called him and said to him, oh, you wicked servant, I forgave you all your debt because you desired me. Should you not have also had compassion on your fellow servant as I had paid on you? And his Lord was wroth and delivered him to the tormentor so he should pay all that was due to him. My point is this. The kingdom of heaven is like this. How hypocritical was it for that servant who just fell at the mercy of his Lord's feet, he owed everything. Please forgive me. I can't pay this. Will you just have patience with me? And his Lord, moved with compassion, said what? I forgive you. Even though you owe me, you're doing me wrong, I forgive you. The Bible says that's how the kingdom of heaven is. But I'll tell you what, this is how the body of Christ is. Here, Jesus was willing to overlook every one of your nasty things you've ever done, the things you, if we were to put your life up on screen right now, some of you would be mortified, me including. Let's hope they don't have that day in heaven. Let's look at everybody. They're going to be washed away and gone. And Jesus, the things that he has access to and has seen and heard, all things you've done, he was so willing to just say, I forgive you. And then we go out and have the nerve to treat people wrong and to hold grudges and talk bad about people that have wronged us and hold on to things and picture things in our mind and ignore them and hold it over them and put our thumb on them. Hypocrites. And the kingdom says that's wickedness. That's devilish. Amen? I will allow my children to remain anonymous in this story. And allow you to guess. But there's a dynamic in our home that when one of the children want the other child to play with them, the other child's pretty good about, yeah, I'll play with you. Sure, no problem. A lot of squirming going on in the front row up here. What's going on? But just the other day I heard the child that would normally play, hey, will you play this game with me? Nope! Again, you use your imagination. Nope, not doing it. And so the words were, remember this blank person the next time. Don't care. Nope. And it wasn't like a little bit later. Will you play with me? Oh! And that's what we do as Christians. Oh, I need your mercy. I need your mercy. Can't believe you treated me that way. I'm going to make you pay, you hypocrite. Will you play with me? Will you play with me? I'll play with you. Will you play? And turned around. No, I'm not going to play with you. No. But play with me, play with me, play with me. Forgive me, forgive me, forgive me. I'm going to make you pay for that. Oh, I'm going to make you pay for that. Wickedness. The Lord was wroth. It's not right. Amen?
Amen?
Go with me to Mark 11 and verse 23 and 24. Heart surgery today. So I don't need this. Well, you will. Why? Because you live with people. You drive in your car. You go to work. You go to the store. You're going to need it. You'll probably need it before the day's over. Why? Because humans mess up, right? We miss it. And so there's lots of opportunities to forgive. I'll never forget this statement. One of the things that sticks out with Brother Hagin, he lived successfully. He lived in love, and he had miracles, signs, wonders. And one of his models was, be quick to repent when you miss it and be quick to forgive. Why? Keep you in the confines of God's blessings. Mark 11:23 says, for verily I say unto you that whosoever shall say unto this mountain, be thou removed and be thou cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe that those things which he saith shall come to pass, will have whatever he says. Praise God for faith. And verse 24 continues, therefore I say unto you, what things you desire when you pray, believe you receive them and you'll have them. But notice the end of that verse. Into the next verse, it says, and, verse 25. What's he saying? 25 is connected to 24 and 23. We like 23 and 24 that says we can have what we pray, we can have what we say, but you can't leave 25 out in connection with 23 and 24. And also, when you stand praying, which he just talked about in 23, the confession, in 24, the praying, when you stand in that place of releasing your faith, forgive. What's he saying? This has to be there too. This has to be there too. And when you stand praying, forgive if you have aught against saying that your Father in heaven will forgive you of your trespasses. But what's he saying? For 23 and 24 to work, 25 has to be in place. So guess what? You're just hurting yourself when you act in unforgiveness. What are you doing? Canceling out your faith. Why? Walking in unforgiveness is not love. Love fuels our faith. You can confess all day long and walk out of love. It ain't going to work. It isn't going to work. Remember the story of the person who was believing God, I told last week, of the shoulder injury? Couldn't figure out for years. Hands laid on him by mighty ministers with healing anointings. Great results. Knew the word back and forth. Believed in healing. Finally, Father, why am I not receiving my healing? Because you haven't forgiven your dad. What was there? A love walk problem, plugging up the flow, right? It was plugging up the flow. Unforgiveness will plug up the flow of God's power. And it's just hurting yourself. The best way I've ever heard it put is, unforgiveness is like drinking poison and hoping the other person that you're mad at and holding the grudge against, hoping they're experiencing the effects. They're not experiencing the effects of your unforgiveness. Now, unless you're lashing out and things like that. But when you sit there and meditate and stew in that all night long, they're probably sound asleep, snoring and drooling all over themselves. And you're mad. You're gulp, 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 gulp. I hope they feel this gulp, gulp. And it's just hurting you. Again, on this Children's Church Sunday, we'll allow my children to remain anonymous for this next story. My kids know it's part of the deal. When you're a pastor's kid, there's a lot of blessings that come with that, but you know what? There's a whole package deal here. We are open and honest before the court. Praise God. We had a little family thing. We're all doing something fun. Can't remember exactly what it was. And one of the children didn't like what was going on. And all of a sudden, with a nasty look, this person said, I'm leaving. Okay, and so then I started to say, great, see you later, where are you going? Like, if you leave this place of what we're doing here, you're not hurting me. In fact, you're giving me great peace. It's not affecting me except to bless me. If you leave like you're threatening, it's just hurting you. Finally got a smile out of him, you know, and everything's good and everything fine, and realized, no, it's better to stay here than to leave. Amen? Hallelujah. Go out and get your stick with your bandana and fill it up and leave. Hallelujah. You're just hurting yourself in unforgiveness. You don't realize you've stepped out of love. Now you've stepped out of the miracle flow. Amen? Now, I want to, in closing here, talk to you about how to forgive. There's a point that I want to talk about, but I'm going to save it because there's so much that needs to be said that people need to be free from. So I'm just going to go right to the end here. How in the world do we do this? What does that look like, Pastor Mike? Because no doubt people wrong us, people are in our lives. Well, We saw that Jesus showed us that it's not a feeling. It's a choice to do with words, right? And so when you go to forgive somebody, it's as simple as saying, Father, you don't need to wait for them to ask for forgiveness. You don't need to wait for them to change their behavior, right? If you need to adjust your life, you do it. You adjust your life. You know, the Bible says, as much as lieth with you, be at peace with everybody. You can only do so much, amen? But you can walk in forgiveness. It's as simple as saying, Father, I forgive them for what they have done. I let them off the hook. Again, you might not feel it, you might not think it, but you're choosing to do that. Now, with that comes some things going forward. Of course, the devil is going to bring it to your remembrance. But remember who we are to copy. We are to copy God. And the last verse I want us to look at is Isaiah 43:25. Look at this part of forgiveness that's very vital. Because remember, we don't imitate ourselves, we imitate God. In Isaiah 43, in verse 25, look what God says. I. You can just look up here real quick, so I know I'm going kind of quick here. I am he that blotteth out your transgressions, the things you did wrong. I'm going to get rid of them. Because I'm a God of forgiveness. I'm a God of love. For my own sake. Look what he's saying. I'm not even doing it for your sake. Even though it benefits you, so I'm doing it for my sake. Why? I need that fellowship. I need that unbroken relationship there. Why? Because sin divides. Sin separates. But notice what he says about after he blots them out, forgives them. And I will not remember your sins. Oh, we're so glad he does that. Right? We're so glad he doesn't remember and hold us. There's a way to go forward once you forgive and ask somebody or release somebody, I forgive you. And that's this. When we forgive, we forget. That's a package deal. Now, you might say that's impossible. The thoughts still come. Oh, I know they do, but we also don't need to be controlled by the thoughts of the enemy. Because God's not giving you thoughts of holding on or bringing back up with you. But the devil will. Why? To get you back into unforgiveness. Remember, the devil's ultimate goal is always to get you out of faith. He'll do it any way he can. Father, I forgive them. There's no doubt when that gentleman forgave his father, the devil brought those thoughts back up, what he did. Okay, so then what are you going to do with it when they come? Well, we've learned how to be victorious around here. We're not supposed to just let our thoughts take root in our brain and be watered by thoughts. We're supposed to do the right thing and answer our thoughts. So, and it will subside. How do we know it will subside? Because if you do what Jesus did and thump the devil like Jesus did, he'll leave you for a season just like he did Jesus. What am I talking about? In the wilderness, he kept thumping Jesus. Well, Jesus responded the right way out of his mouth, and the devil suggested things. And what did the Bible say? He departed and left for a season. If you'll stay vigilant, the Bible says resist the devil, and he might not, it's not that he might flee from you, he will flee from you. If you'll stay in a place of resistance, you will get the relief. But people don't resist, they allow it to come in, and he dominates. So what does that look like? Father, I forgive them of that, I let that go. 10 minutes later, thought rips through your head. Hour later, laying there in bed at night, thought rips through your head. How they wronged you. You have a choice now. What do I do? Oh, wow, they sure did. Man, I'm so mad. How could they do that to me? You're not acting in line with the word. You've then taken a thought that's tried to usurp itself over the knowledge of God, which the knowledge of God is what? They're forgiven. It's over. They're free. And so the skillful way is to say, nope, I don't take that thought. I have forgiven them, and therefore I have forgotten that thing. End of story. That's it. How do I get my attention off the devil? Put it on God, why don't you? Yeah. The thought comes again. Nope. So you say, well, I have to do it the rest of my life? No, you resist the devil, he'll flee. Jesus didn't get rid of him with one try. Jesus had to keep standing his ground. Guess what? You're going to have to too. Comes to your thought life. Nope, I've forgiven them, therefore I've forgotten. Say, but naturally, but we're not natural beings. Stop it with the natural stuff. We operate out of a higher level. Nope, I've forgiven them, therefore I've forgotten it. And eventually, that peace will come, and those thoughts will subside. Amen. It's the same thing when you're being tormented in your finances. Oh, I'm going to lose the house, I'm going to lose my family. Nope. I don't receive that thought. Prosperity is mine in the name of Jesus. And a full supply comes. The more you resist, the more he'll flee. Yeah. People want Jesus' results without doing what Jesus did. I'm just going to be quiet and sit with my feelings and my thoughts. That's not what the king did. That's not what the champ did. Now, last but not least, I forgive them. I refuse to remember that. There's also a right way to proceed, right? What does that mean? Well, we don't broadcast people's wrongs that they wrong. You should have seen what they did to me. That is not love. 1 Peter 4, verse 8 says, love covers a multitude of sins. Love doesn't broadcast sins. Love doesn't go and call five people in the church. Hey, this person in fellowship, did you see how they're... And start... Anytime you start getting involved in this, you're not where God is. When you start getting in any complaining, you are not where God is. When you start getting in any strife, you are not where God is. When you start getting any bitterness, talking about people busybody, God is not involved with that. We're not allowed to talk bad about people in our home. Don't come back home and tell me how bad someone is. I don't want to hear it. No. Nope, God's not in that. We don't complain. We don't talk bad about people. We don't gossip. It's quiet in here. Does that mean there's a whole lot of this going on in some people's homes here? You need to fix that. Let's clean that up. It's not love and it's hurting you. It's hurting you. And so we don't broadcast it. But you know what else we do? We don't put them down or treat them in a way that holds that over their head, right? Use that against them. Use it as ammunition. We don't do that anymore. Now, again, if you have to proceed because trust and the Holy Spirit's telling you, you know what, that relationship... But if you're sitting there holding that over them and making them pay for it and making them know, you are not in the God kind of love. Right. And the only reason you're doing that is because the thoughts keep coming and you keep taking them. Well, heart surgery this morning. Amen? We might need to go out of here and get on the recovery table for a little bit. Figure this all out. But I'm just encouraging you to walk in the God kind of love. It's the most powerful force you can walk in. Hallelujah. Father, thank you for helping us. We have work to do. We have choices to make. Yeah, Father, as I'm just right now just kind of scanning my own heart. Is there unforgiveness there? If there is, I want to let that go. Yeah, Father, reveal. Some of you might know right off the bat, you know, but maybe there's things that's been buried down in there for so long. And yeah, I see that, Father, for myself. I'm not just making that up. Something came up that I didn't even realize. Been holding on to that. I loose them of that. And I forgive them for that, Father. They know not what they do. They know not what they did. And I refuse anymore to take a thought about that. It's gone. I forget it. I thank you with the help of the Holy Ghost and the supernatural power of your word that I'll be free from that thought someday. As I do my part, resist the enemy, because I know he'll come. He'll give me thoughts. I didn't even recognize that those thoughts were manifesting in the form of unforgiveness, and it's hurting my life because you said so. Yeah, with heads bowed and eyes closed, you know, who knows why things are off at times? That's why if you're humble before God, he'll show you. And maybe now, maybe some other things start working, some other things start clicking. Thank you, Father, for forgiving me. And I ask you to forgive me for holding on to that. And I forgive them for what they did. They wronged me. They did. No doubt. But I forgive it. And I forget it from this point forward. And I pray, Father, that you'd reveal to other people grudges and bitterness and strife and anger that they've been holding on to for years, been in bondage, years and years. It's time to get free. You're just hurting yourself. It's time to get free from that poison, from that weight. Thank you, Father. You're so kind to us. You're so merciful. We love you. Can we just rejoice and praise him? Thank you, Father. I want to give people an opportunity with heads bowed and eyes closed and people watching online to receive Jesus this morning. If you've never received Jesus as your Lord and Savior, what does that mean? You've asked him into your heart. You've confessed him. You believe in him. And it means you're going to heaven. You're part of the family of God. And if you're watching online, you don't have to be here. You don't have to go to church. It's not about religious cartwheels and spiritual backflips, you know. It's about accepting Jesus. And If you're here and you could say, I don't know that I'd go to heaven. I'm not 100% sure. I think I would, but I don't know. Or if you're watching online, say, I don't know if I would. Well, Jesus is the way. And John 3:16 says, if you believe on him, you will not perish but have everlasting life. And then Romans 10:13 says, call on his name, invite him in. So with heads bowed, eyes closed, nobody looking around, if you're by chance in here this morning, you've never made Jesus the Lord of your life, would you just slip your hand high in the air? Now, if you've already done this, you don't have to do it again. You might have to repent for some things you've done wrong since that day, but he didn't take away your salvation because you were imperfect. Thank God he's better than that. I don't see a hand in here, and I'm not completely surprised by that, but if you're watching online, you can say, I've never received Jesus. Don't let this day pass you by until you make him the Lord of your life, and it's very simple. Look at those verses, John 3:16, Romans 10:13, and then do what they say. And it would sound something like this, Jesus, I believe in you. I believe you died and rose again, and I ask you to come into my life. I call on your name as my Lord and my Savior. And if you're watching, or even if you're in here and you say, I'm confused by all this, Pastor, I don't understand it. I've been told one thing. You're telling me a different thing. Just give me a call. It's not about what I think or what you think or what somebody told you thinks. It's what the Bible thinks. And we'll tell you what the Bible says about getting saved and going to heaven and the good thing that God has for you. Email me, call me. That information is on the website. But Father, thank you so much for loving us, for being so good to us. Now at this time, you could open your eyes. We're going to take up communion. But this is a time of reverence. This is a time of worship. It's a time of honoring God and remembering what Jesus did. So at this time, I'm going to ask the ushers to come forward to serve us. We'll put a worship song on. And again, this isn't time to fellowship and things. It's time to put your focus on Jesus and thank him and worship him. So come on forward, brothers. And let's just begin to worship and praise him. Father, we glorify you. We magnify you. We bless you. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus, for paying the price. Thank you. Thank you, thank you. Thank you for paying that price for us. We worship you and praise you. You could have literally said, I don't mean this in the swearing way, I mean in the contextual way of truth, he could have literally said, to hell with all of you. Literally, go to hell with all of you, and he didn't. He said, I'm going to pay the price. He said, I'm going to pay the price for you. We thank you, Jesus, that you loved us more than what your feelings said and what your thoughts would say, what your body would say. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Praise your holy name forevermore. Worship you. Thank you. Paul said, "For I received of the Lord that which I had delivered unto you, that the Lord Jesus, the same night which he was betrayed, he took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, 'Take, eat, this is my body, which is broken for you. Do in remembrance of me.'" Let's go ahead and break it and eat. Father, we're so grateful and so thankful to you, Jesus, as well, for your body, what it went through, the torment, the torture on our behalf. We recognize that. We don't take it lightly or casually. We're so grateful, forever grateful, for the price that you paid. And the Bible says in verse 25, "After the same manner also he took the cup when he had supped, saying, 'This cup is the New Testament in my blood. Do this as oft as you drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat this bread and drink the Lord's cup, you do show the Lord's death till he comes.'" Let's go ahead and drink. Father, thank you. We recognize that the juice represents the blood of Jesus, which was shed for the remission and the forgiveness of our sins, to wash us white as snow. We thank you, Jesus, that you were willing to do that for us. We don't take it lightly. We recognize the great sacrifice that you made on our behalf. We love you, Father. We praise you. Come on, church. Let's just thank him as a body together. We love you, Lord. We bless you and praise your holy, holy name in Jesus' name. Amen. Real quick before you're dismissed, Children's Church kids, don't forget, meet Miss Julie in the back. She has prizes for you. Y'all did so well today. Fellowship over there, Donut Sunday, and then Wednesday night, 6:30, you're dismissed. Love you and appreciate you. Praise God. It's so good to be free. Mm-hmm.